Words can hurt. You can hurt people with your words. Sometimes the way people handle the sword is not good. Well, let's go. I want to take this in order. Put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Oh, yeah. People always mention this. It means panoplia. Like we say panoply. It means full armor. The complete thing. Don't just take the helmet of salvation and think you're ready. They got the helmet of salvation and the rocket of rapture. You know, just put on your helmet of salvation. That's all you need. That's all you need is the helmet of salvation. I mean, that's all people really care about, isn't it? The helmet of salvation and the pants of good relationships and the tunic of prosperity. I mean, that's really, by the things that are instructed in churches today, you think that was the most important things. Most important things are those things. Our relationships and so on and so forth. I mean, because the thing is, all this stuff, instruction, it's good to take instruction in all matters, right? But ultimately, everything we do is done by faith and by what the Spirit instructs us to do. We don't need that any man should teach us, but the Spirit himself instructs us. When we're a child, we are like children. We do need instructors. And as we grow up in the Lord, there comes a time when we ought to be teachers. I've reached that time. I ought to be a teacher. Just by reason of time. Of how long I've been in it. I've been in it long enough that now I should teach people. Okay? So I offer it. But really, the primary reason I do this is to teach myself. And I think that's the biggest thing. I'm doing this for my enjoyment. I record it. Because others could benefit. I know others will benefit. But primarily, I see the biggest benefit is to me. I feel like from all this, I'm like, boy, this lit me on fire. Teaching this book of Ephesians, teaching Galatians, and all the other books I plan on teaching. It light a fire under me. So what is the purpose of putting on the armor of God? We got to be strong. And this is the idea of a warrior, you know? I like a song. I wrote new words for it. It was from a secular band. Not everyone knows that in church, but if they listen into my Bible studies, now they know the secret. I had to do a song called Holy War. Originally, it was by a secular metal band. But I changed the words because I like the idea of holy war. Because we have these images. See, in Christianity, see, people think that, oh, holy war, God, that's bad, you know? Like, they think of the Crusades and the Muslim wars of conquest. And I suppose other religions have had their wars of religion and so on and so forth. And the atheists have their wars, too. Don't ever let them deceive you. You know, in the end of the last... two centuries, the end of the 19th century, which is the 1800s, there was a string of assassinations, bombings, and terrorism. And it was the anarchist movement. And they were all atheists. So when I hear those idiots saying, oh, religion is the cause of violence, and it should be regulated, well then throw in atheism, because that's a religion too. And it has had its extremists. Just like anything else. The wicked lodge in all the branches of the tree. They build their nests. Okay? Okay, but let's say our focus here. What is the real warfare we're going to make? No, he says clearly, it's not against flesh and blood. We're not here to make war against flesh and blood. We're not here to fight against physical armies with bullets or swords or anything like that. We fight against far more powerful things. Against principalities. Archos. It's like archangel. You know, it means like first, highest in order. You know, these are high powers. And powers is like authorities. Exousias. That's power by, there's delegated power. The rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places, as in high places. That's the word heavenlies again. As in, you know, chapter 1, 3 and all those other places where he talked about the heavenlies. I picked them out kind of quick because my Bible, all those are highlighted in purple. And there's a color scheme that runs through everything I have in my scriptures. It kind of helps me. I did it all. As there's Bibles that have color schemes, but I did my own color scheme. Okay, so we need to put on the whole armor of God, stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, that means trickery. Because what? That's what we're fighting against. What does the devil want? You know, he wants to tempt and cause you to sin. Because you know why? Whoever commits sin is of the devil. He wants to gather people to himself. He wants you to sin so that you can be of him. You can be part of his family. You can be one of his children. So, the purpose of the whole armor of God is to stand against the devil. And the devil, mostly what he wants to do is to cause you to sin. The devil is not necessarily here to, you know, though he does serve that purpose from time to time. He gives us trouble in the earth, you know, like, you know, car trouble comes and we think, oh, Satan. A lot of times it could be the Lord. Or maybe the Lord sent Satan. Give him a flat tire. It's because of a... But when it happens to God's elect, it's for their good. But the thing we don't want is that we should be tempted and that we should sin. Because then we belong to him. We want to be taken out of that kingdom and into the kingdom of light permanently. And that's what we have to... That's what we're fighting against. Ultimately. And not just on our own behalf. In fact, ultimately, when you have the armor of God on, the idea is that you don't have that. You're wrestling for on behalf of others. That's why you girt yourself with truth. You put your belt on to hold your pants up, or, you know, or back then it would be kind of like their tunic or whatever. But whatever. You're girding up your loins, your you know, your groin and all that stuff with truth. It's what holds your, you know, that holds you together. The point is, truth is a very important part.